Good morning. Would you please stand? Good morning. This is the public comment period. Is there anyone out there that would like to speak to the board this morning that's not on the agenda for today? Okay, seeing no one, we go down to the consent calendar. Does I'll anybody want to pull in?
Okay, you move approval.
Okay, I need a second.
Second.
Okay, I've been moved by Grover and seconded by DeMartini. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're carried 5-0. Yeah. We got to wait for you. Okay. Yeah, okay, let's go. We'll get on to correspondence. Christine.
This board has received a copy of the Stanislaus Waste to Energy Financing Agency and Covanta Stanislaus Inc. Form 10Q for the first quarter ended March 31st, 2008.
Refer this to the Department of Environmental Resources.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Being we're moving right along here this morning, is there any Board of Supervisors reports? DeMartini, you got one?
Yeah, I didn't have one last week.
You got one this week?
I might as well.
Let's have it then.
I just wanted to thank the people that helped me on my reelection campaign, especially Mayor of Ceres, Anthony Canella, the Mayor of Patterson, Becky Campo, the City Council, and City Treasurer of Newman, and along with the Farm Bureau. And I look forward to another 4 years, and I thank everybody for their help, and I think that's all I need to say.
Did you retire your walking shoes?
Yes, I did. In fact, the first thing that I did the day after the election was buy a new pair of shoes.
Buy a new pair of shoes, okay. Is there any other Board of Supervisors report on this side over here?
None,
okay. We go down to the legislative physical and management report.
Yes, the legislature is and the governor's office administration are still making a lot of recommendations, but not working actively to solve any of the budget issues that are prevalent in Sacramento and will ultimately affect our budget. I have no new information to share right now. We're hoping that in the next week to 10 days, the legislative leadership will begin meeting to formulate solutions to the state budget crisis.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, if this was the Oprah show, we'd bring in coffee and donuts, but we're ahead of the schedule here, so we're going to cool our heels until 9:10. Okay, so you can all talk now until 9:10, then we'll come back. The meeting back again, and this is a public hearing for the redevelopment agency. I'm gonna call it to order. We have the consent calendar. We need somebody to make a motion. Okay, moved by Dick.
Second.
By Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Now we go down to F on the redevelopment agency, Nancy Brown and Chris Vasquez.
Charles Vasquez.
Pardon me?
Charles.
Charles. What did I say?
Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's close.
Sure, it was a C.
Good to have
Is that
you.
Chris with a K? Or
not Charles. That's good. Go ahead. Hey, that's fine. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Brown with the Redevelopment Agency. As you know, the Keys Project is well underway, and phase one has been completed, and we're now ready to start phase two. Plans and specs have been completed. It's requested that these be adopted and the project go out to bid with the bid opening date and time of August 6th at 2 p.m. Environmental review has also been completed and a mitigated negative declaration and mitigation monitoring plan are recommended for your approval. Charles Vasquez here is the project manager from Public Works, and he will give you an update on the project.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Make sure you talk. Make sure you're talking that thing. Attaboy.
I'm going to go through the calendar of events that have brought us up to this point, and then what are we going to do to complete this project on a timely matter. The Keys design started in mid-2005. In early 2006, we split the project into two phases in an effort to start some type of construction as soon as possible. Phase one, which was a complete phase, consisted of the installation of the continuous deflective unit filtration system. This unit, its function is to filter most of the floatable material that gets collected through the storm drain system. In addition, that it captures particles greater than 7 millimeters in size, plus hydrocarbons that gets flushed through the storm drain system. This phase was completed in 2006 at a cost of $1.5 million. In winter of 2006, we started with the completion of the design for phase two. This took us about a year to complete. In June of 2007, this board approved an MOU with the Keys Community Service District to add their portion of their improvement to our grid package. The work consists of water and sewer line repairs and relocation within the boundaries of our project, and the district is to prepay for the cost of their bid before we start construction. This past February, the board approved an agreement with Nolte & Associates, Inc. to provide constructability review and all construction management and inspection services for this phase two. At the same time, the Department of Public Works prepared and was successful through a ballot procedure to consolidate all existing three CSS within the downtown area of Keys into one larger and more comprehensive community service area called CSS 26. This will be officially formed in July of 2009 with the first installment of the fees to be collected in December of 2006. Now for the good stuff. The following is a calendar from the of events that I will that will take us from the bidding process to the completion of phase two and the reconstruction of the old part of the community of Keys. Phase two construction consists of the installation of about 6 miles of underground storm drain piping collection system, new streets, curbs, gutters, inlets for those 6 miles, and a 5-pump lift station with its own backup generator, increasing the capacity of the existing Bonita Ranch basin, excavation of an additional basin for additional capacity, an upgrade to the 16-pump lift stations to discharge into the TID canal lateral 2.5. The construction time estimated is to take about 18 months to 20 months, 24 months, depending on what happened within the two winter seasons that we're going to be under construction. The schedule that we have developed is as follows. Today, you are asked to adopt the plans and specifications and the CEQA environmental document process to be finalized. We start our advertising tomorrow. It will take us through July 7th. There is a mandatory pre-bid meeting for those contractors who are interested in bidding into this project. And the last day for clarifications on their behalf to submit to us in writing request for information clarification is July 30th. We are scheduled to open base at 2 p.m. August 6th. And we also include in what is called an escrow document submittal, which is part of the process that the contractor, the three lowest bidder, within 24 hours of being advised that they are the lowest bidder, they are to submit to us in an escrow document their calculations, backup documentations, electronic file, everything that they did to come out with those unit prices. That gets in a sealed box envelope and it gets put away until there is potential claim. That's when we open and decided, okay, how do you bid this project and how it is that we're going to settle the claims. We have learned this throughout the past 7 years in doing these infrastructure projects. That claim has been one of the issues that we have to get a good handle on it. With that, we expect to come to the board on August 19 to award the contract and issue notice to proceed on September 8 with an estimated notice of completion of construction of May-June 2010. At this time, if there is any question or clarification that the board or the public would like to ask, I'll be happy to answer.
Is there any questions from the board? Do we need to make a motion, don't we? I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Bill, second by Dick. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Thank you. Now this is a public forum. Is there anyone out there in the public who would like to speak on this issue? Okay, seeing no one, I'll close this and we'll come back as the board supervisor. Thank you. Okay, now it's past 9:15. It's actually 9:18. So we have the budget hearing now, a public hearing to consider the adoption of the fiscal year 2008-2009 proposed budget and related actions. This public hearing may be continued to the following days if needed, June 11, 2008 at 9 a.m. and June 12, 2008 at 9 a.m. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. We're ready.
Good morning. I am going to open this discussion with some introductory comments. First, I do want to recognize and acknowledge Patty Hill Thomas and Monica Nino for their leadership in developing the 2008-2009 budget, as well as the balance of the budget team, whom I'm sure will be introduced by Patty and Monica. Our proposed 2008-9 budget of $957.3 million represents an overall increase of only 1.2% over the 2007-8 budget. While the general fund budget recommendation of $269.5 million is actually $9.3 million less than the 2007-8 budget. We do anticipate a real dollar reduction of 4 to 5% in our property tax collections, which is an unprecedented event in Stanislaus County. We also anticipate reductions in sales tax and Prop 172 public safety revenues. We are a strong recommendation to you as a board that you aggressively support the county's ongoing no backfill policy. Even before the adoption of the 2007-2008 fiscal year budget, we've been anticipating and planning for a difficult financial period. During this fiscal year, you have already authorized the reorganization of the Health Services Agency clinic system, the sale of the SBHC, staffing reductions in our building department, and cutbacks in our library services. Knowing that we'd only begun to address the anticipated shortfall, we outlined to you a 16-month budget strategy that included target budget reductions of 2% of net county cost in 2007-2008 and 3% in the 2008-2009 proposed budget. This strategy has improved our year-end financial position and assisted in bringing you a balanced proposed budget, but it can't prepare us for the unknown. We're fully aware that the county's ability to meet the needs of our residents could be dramatically impacted by actions of the legislature and of the governor. That is why, as you read the budget message, you will note that we are presenting the proposed budget to you with significant reservations and with full disclosure that state actions could have a significant adverse effect on our final budget. The proposed state reductions, if implemented, would have a major impact on our ability to deliver health and social programs at a time when the demand for these services will be increasing. We do have a real challenge on our hands. Now we will present the budget.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Patty Hill Thomas from the Chief Executive Office. Of course, with me is Monica Nino, and I'd like to introduce you to Jim Quartz, a key member of our budget team. And I would like to take a moment and recognize the efforts of the entire budget team We turn like into a year-round family because our budgeting occurs regularly, and they are in the audience today. So I'd like to recognize Christina Alfaro, Christy Amaral, Marnie Artis, Nancy Bronstein, Tara Chumley, Doris Foster, Brenda Kiley, Jim, who's here, Mark Lozier, Raul Mendez, Monica, Stan Risen, Kelly Rodriguez, Cindy Tomlinson, and Jody Hayes. They're a great team to work with, and they never give up, so we appreciate their efforts. I'd also like to take a moment and thank your board for giving us the kind of direction you have on a regular basis that allowed us to really pre-plan how the proposed budget would be balanced and presented to you today, and for our department heads, all of whom are in the audience, and their staffs and our county employees, particularly for their flexibility in adjusting to changing times. This is indeed a very challenging time, and as Chairman Mayfield said in his State of the County speech at the beginning of the year, we've had good times and we've had bad times. These challenging times also bring some opportunity, and our whole organization sees that opportunity. And while we're talking about budget reductions, we're also talking about continuing to look at ways to do things differently with less money. The proposed budget presented to you today is, as you well know, an interim spending plan. We'll invite the public for the opportunity to speak today and again in September when the final budget is presented to your board, and we're recommending that that hearing be held on September 9th, 2008 at 9:15 a.m. It's likely that our final budget will look different than our proposed budget this year, given the economic changes and issues the state faces. Your budget, the organization's budget, and the community's budget plan is based on your board's priorities, which are listed on this screen. And as you'll see, all of our departmental programs are also organized in accordance with your board priorities. There's no doubt that these challenging times will last into the next several years. And so the strategy presented in this proposed budget today is one that uses a mix of bringing expenses in line with declining revenues, using some one-time money over time to work into a new level to be sure that we maintain a balanced budget. And we do. Your Board of Supervisors every year at every turn insists, and the organization responds, our budget is balanced. There is no deficit spending in Stanislaus County. But several significant budget reduction plans have already occurred, as Mr. Robinson said, at our health services agency, our behavioral health, our planning department, and the library. And it's likely, given the extent of the state budget, that those kinds of program-specific reductions will continue. Our property and sales tax receipts are down. Jim will share that detail with you in a moment. And our health and human service programs we provide primarily on behalf of the state of California and the federal government not only are faced with declining realignment revenues and significant state cuts, but many of the mandated programs have had flat funding for many years. So while costs go up to provide the programs, the mandated funding has not gone up, creating a shortfall that the county doesn't have the fiscal ability to fill behind. Those reductions in funding, both at the local level as our economy worsens and at the state and federal level, challenge our ability to provide services. And at the same time, the economy is showing, the worsening economy is showing, an increased number of people in our community seeking aid and assistance programs, particularly in our health and human service programs that are taking likely the biggest cuts. We laid out a strategy that your board adopted at the mid-year, and we are very, very pleased that most of our departments were able to achieve the 3% reduction planned for this coming fiscal year. And that's on top of most of our departments achieving a 2% reduction in the fiscal year we're about to end in a four-month period. So there's been a significant shift as our economy and our finances have worsened in our spending patterns, in our decision-making organization-wide, and that's taken a real effort on behalf of our departments and their staff. We have recommended in this proposed budget that some of the 3% reduction not be taken. In the most critical services, your board's top priority in some areas that are mandated exposures for our community. And in addition to our ongoing base budget needs, there were over $13 million in requests for what we call critical needs, unfunded. Very few of those are recommended for funding today. Many of the critical needs that we did recommend be funded are all funded by reductions somewhere else in our budget. So where we needed to make an adjustment to certain programs, we actually made a decline or a decrease in another part of the budget. This is a picture of our proposed budget as presented to you today, over $957 million. You'll recall that during the current fiscal year, we exceeded a $1 billion mark in our county budget, and it's likely that we will again, because the final budget, with the adjustments of carryover projects from the previous year, when they're added together after September, that's when the number is likely to go back to a billion. But that number will really be determined once all of the final state legislative changes have made and other budget reductions are made. As you can see in this chart, that the biggest part of the county's budget is in the programs in your board's priority of a healthy community, most of which are funded by state and federal revenues, nearly half of the county's budget, health and human service programs. And the largest portion of the county budget that's funded by local discretionary funds are the programs in our safe community programs, primarily our public protection, nearly 18% of the entire county budget. This is a very simple picture of how our budget is funded. And you can see that the difference between our discretionary revenue, which are local property and sales tax, and other revenue sources like that, make up 18%. And the bulk of the county budget is made up over 77% by departmental revenue, some of which comes from fees and charges for service, but most of which comes from state and federal reimbursements. And as you can see, about 5% of our budget as presented to you today is in one-time money, either dedicated for a project or a program or carryover funds, one-time funding. In the mid-year, you adopted a strategy that was determined and focused on getting us to a balanced budget, even though the economy and the state budget crisis continued to worsen. That strategy included achieving a $5.9 million savings in the current year that will end at the end of this month. We're concerned about our ability to achieve that because our discretionary revenue receipts are already down in the current year. That strategy was focused on maintaining the no backfill policy. That is when the state or federal government cuts funding to a program that the county doesn't fill in behind that with local discretionary revenues. And it was focused on developing program-specific reduction plans when the state or federal government makes a specific program reduction. We also, a part of the strategy, looked at the ability to use retained earnings in various risk management self-insurance funds, savings and improvements, and focus organization-wide on the county safety program has brought opportunities for savings in some of our risk management self-insurance funds, which can go back and offset budget reductions for our departments. Last year, we asked you to set aside $3 million a year toward the expansion of our jail facilities, our public safety center facilities. In this proposed budget, we're asking you to eliminate that this year and take that money and spend it on public safety operation programs so that we don't have to make the kinds of reductions there that we don't consider appropriate. And we considered and recommended a one-year suspension in the Economic Development Bank. In the targeted reductions of 3% for all county funds, we avoided, per your direction and our recommendation, the use of any of our reserves or designation funds for operating expenses, all based on the idea that we need to balance our revenues and our expenditures and not dip into our savings account when the economy or the budget condition worsens. And that there'd be a revised methodology in calculating the reserves for penalties in the tax loss reserve fund, commonly called the Teeter Fund. And your board approved that change in methodology at your last board meeting. The departments that we considered not, well, let me go back, let me go forward, I'm sorry. What this means for the final budget is that given the fact that the state budget deficit seems to be, continues to grow, we believe the further budget reductions are likely. We're concerned about programs at all levels because there's much talk about not only state mandated programs but local discretionary funds being used perhaps for the balancing in the state budget. And there's a real possibility of additional reductions in force. With that, we're going to turn it over to Jim Quartz, who's going to talk to you a little bit about discretionary revenues.
In the proposed budget for fiscal year 2008-2009, discretionary
speak up a little bit. We got to hear this good news.
Discretionary revenue is projected to be slightly more than $176.2 million. This represents an overall decrease of over 1% when compared to the current year's final adjusted budget. This projected decrease is primarily attributed to the loss of property and consumer sales related tax revenues, which represent approximately 90% of all discretionary revenue. For the first time since the mid-1970s, the assessed valuation of real property countywide is experiencing a decrease. In past years, a 1 to 2% growth in value was considered a lean year. For fiscal year 2008-2009, a 4 to 5% decline in values is projected by the assessor's office. This decrease in value translates into less property tax revenue as well as less property taxes received in lieu of vehicle license fees. The cautious approach of the general populace towards the purchase of consumer goods directly affects the amount of sales and use tax collected. Included in this component is the 1/2 cent sales tax, known as the public safety sales tax. This is used in funding the sheriff, district attorney, probation, and juvenile institutions operations. Overall, the proposed budget shows a decrease of over 2% to sales and use tax. The good news is this decrease is partially offset by an estimated increase of $3.5 million from the tax loss reserve fund. We're required to keep a cash reserve on hand for potential tax losses from tax defaulted properties. In the new fiscal year, a change will be made in the methodology used to calculate this amount, and this will free up some funds to be used for discretionary purposes. Included in the other sources of revenue is a transfer from risk management's professional liability retained earnings as a one-time offset to the general fund obligation to the health services agency deficit. In summary, an overall decrease of $1.9 million is projected in the coming year. I'd like us to take a closer look at the property tax component, since over $100 million of the total $176 million falls into this category. Prior to fiscal year 2004-2005, the county received 11 cents of every property tax dollar collected. During that fiscal year, the state gave us a greater portion of the property taxes in exchange for our vehicle license fees. That shows us a 13% increase. Along with that, a portion of sales tax revenue was replaced with an equal percentage of property tax. That shows us the 2% increase there. The result of these exchanges means that the county's portion of each property tax dollar is now approximately 26 cents. Now, this may seem like old news, but it becomes more noteworthy in an economy of faltering real estate value. As the county's portion of each property tax dollar increases, our discretionary revenue becomes more reliant on the real estate market. And one last brief comment. Statewide, there are only three counties that receive a smaller portion than our county does of the general property tax dollar.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. Monica Nino from the Chief Executive Office. I'm going to now go through and share with you what we are recommending by board priority for appropriations, along with the various critical needs we are recommending. Within a safe community, the departments that are included are Animal Services, CEO, Office of Emergency Services, CEO Capital Projects, CEO County Operations, our district attorney, our grand jury, our integrated criminal justice information system, along with probation, public defender, and our sheriff's department. total appropriations recommended for a safe community are $167,202,050. The largest department within a safe community is our Sheriff's Department at $93 million, and that is 55.6% of our safe community's allocation. The services provided within our safe community are animal sheltering services, coordination of emergency activities, medical services to both adult and juvenile detention populations, along with prosecutions of adults and juveniles, along with the operation of safe and secure juvenile facility, along with the effective representation of indigents, law enforcement services in our unincorporated areas, along with our contract cities. Our first recommended critical need within a safe community is for jail medical services. It is for an increase for our base contract costs, along with over $89,000 to fund additional 75 inmates for our per diem, along with $100,000 for psychiatric medication for juvenile hall detainees, along with $225,000 in payments that are made to Doctors Medical Center, which are reimbursed through our jail medical provider, which is CFMG. Our next recommended unmet need that is recommended for funding of $486,202 for our district attorney. We are recommending the funding of four currently filled positions within the criminal division, along with two currently filled positions and an extra help position within our real estate fraud unit. For probation, we are recommending a critical need of $221,818 for funding of four currently filled positions within juvenile hall. For the public defender, we are recommending the funding of two currently filled positions, along with an increase for our indigent defense conflict firms contract. For the Sheriff's Department, we are recommending an increase in critical needs of over $2 million. One is for funding of their currently vacant safety officer, the funding of two new positions for the City of Patterson, which are fully offset by revenue from that law enforcement contract, along with the funding of three positions for court security, which will also be funded 100% by that contract with the courts, along with increased funding for food, services, and supplies in the sheriff's detention unit, along with the funding of four vacant positions and increased county-related charges, including fuel. Within the departments included in the board's priority of a healthy community are Area Agency on Aging, Veteran Services, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Child Support Services, Children's and Families Commission, along with our Community Services Agency and our Health Services Agency. Services provided within our healthy community are services to low-income and frail and underserved and at-risk seniors, along with assistance to our veterans and other qualified dependents to obtain benefits and counseling, mental health services to the seriously mentally ill adults and older adults, alcohol and drug treatment to residents, outreach services to the homeless, along with the establishment of paternity and child support orders. Within our community services agency, we have our adult protective services, along with foster care and in-home supportive services and public welfare assistance programs. Within our clinic system, we have our primary and specialty medical care services through our regional clinic system, along with providing medical care to our indigent health, and also our public health division within our health services agency provides health promotion, along with nursing and case management and emergency preparedness. The total recommended appropriations for a healthy community are $453,712,835. The largest budget unit within our Healthy Community Board priority is our Community Services Agency at $250,187,152. That is 55% of our Healthy Community recommended budget. Our first critical need recommended within Healthy Community is $30,000 for our Veteran Services Unit within Area Agency on Aging, and that's funding to maintain positions in Veteran Services. For Public Guardian, we are recommending over $1 million in increased funding. The general fund portion of that $1 million is $125,000 for the Public Guardian's office to continue services at its current mandated levels. and to restore funding of over $1 million for the Stanislaus Recovery Center from the Substance Abuse and Crime Prevention Act, along with the Offender Treatment Program grant funds. For the Community Services Agency, we are recommending a general fund contribution of $221,387 for our Families and Partnership Program for foster care. That program has continued to maintain our lower costs in our foster care programs. Within a strong local economy, the departments included in this board priority are Alliance WorkNet. This is where our CEO Economic Development Bank is budgeted, along with our library. Services provided within a strong local economy are employment and training services to the community, along with employment preparation workshops and library services throughout the county. The recommended appropriation level for a strong local economy is $23,439,994. The largest is our Alliance WorkNet at $12,787,429. The board recently approved a reduction plan for the library to bring revenue in line with declining sales tax revenue, which has resulted in reduced library services. And this proposed budget before you reflects those reduced services. For a strong agricultural economy and heritage, those departments include our agricultural commissioner, along with cooperative extension. The services provided in a strong agricultural economy and heritage are the oversight and the use of pesticide applied in production and storage of agricultural crops, non-formal education and applied research programs in agricultural and natural resources, the monitoring for accuracy of advertised pricing at the retail level, along with testing for accuracy of weighing and measuring devices used in the commercial trade. The recommended appropriation level for this board priority is $4,727,372. The largest budget unit within a strong agricultural economy and heritage is our Ag Commissioner at $4,186,984, and that is 89% of this board priority's appropriation level. There is one recommendation for a critical need in this area, and that's for cooperative extension, and that's for funding to maintain the existing agricultural assistant position that provides critical assistance to our 9 University of California farm advisors. The departments included within a well-planned infrastructure system is environmental resources, parks and recreation, planning and community development, and the public works department. Services provided in this area are education, investigation, and inspection services for hazardous materials, solid waste management, landfill operations, code enforcement, along with environmental health and milk and dairy, maintenance of recreation areas for people to enjoy the outdoors at the most reasonable cost, along with information and assistance on land use issues, along with regional transportation planning. The recommended appropriation level for a well-planned infrastructure is $120,435,424. The largest budget unit within this board priority is the Public Works Department at $57,200,926. Within a well-planned infrastructure, we are recommending a critical need of $12,000 for the Parks and Recreation Department to fund additional utility costs. The final board priority is our efficient delivery of public services. The departments included in this board priority are the assessor, the auditor controller, the board of supervisors, the chief executive office, the clerk recorder, county council, general services agency, strategic business technology, along with our treasurer tax collector. The services provided within the efficient delivery of public services are the assessment of property taxes, fiscal monitoring and reporting, the governing administrative and legislative direction, maintenance of accurate county records, long-range financial planning, processing of documents and records within our clerk recorder's office, conducting elections, support for technology and web-based needs of the county through our strategic business technology, collections of secure and unsecured property taxes through our treasurer tax collector's office. The recommended level of appropriations for included in the proposed budget for efficient delivery of public services is $187,814,282. The largest budget unit within our efficient delivery of public services board priority is our CEO risk management self-insurance funds at $71,643,164. The first critical need recommended in efficient delivery of public services, and I did mention this when we spoke about the district attorney within a safe community, and that is that will come in through a county match contribution towards the district attorney real estate fraud budget unit. And this is primarily as a result of increased caseload within, as a result of our declining real estate market. We are recommending increased funding to fund these two positions along with an extra help position, investigator position. Within the clerk recorder elections, we are recommending an additional critical need of $330,700 for the cost of the November presidential election, along with over $5,000 for our General Services Agency Purchasing Division for emergency preparedness supplies. Total staffing recommendations is a total of 9 new positions, and that brings our total authorized positions to 4,462. The following is our budget schedule. We have today's proposed budget hearing. And as one of the recommendations in our agenda item before you today is to set the final budget hearing for September 9th and 10th and 11th if necessary. And Patty will now go over the significant challenges that remain.
Thank you, Monica. The 10% across the board cuts suggested in January in the governor's budget proposal seem to remain to be considered, with additional reductions outlined in the May revise. Our preliminary estimates at our own community services agency in Stanislaus County is that the combination of the legislative proposals to reduce human service programs could be as much as $22 million in the new fiscal year in Stanislaus County alone. Over $11 million of that would be in aid payments to our community, which would not only affect the residents that are supported by those programs, but our own economy. So these are, this illustration, why we're pointing that out this morning, is significant reductions to programs provided in our community. There are more cuts to Medi-Cal and our public health programs, law enforcement reductions. As the state deficit grows, the fiscal uncertainty grows. We have budgeted a contingency fund, and we believe the strategy you've directed us on will take us through the final budget, staying focused on program-based reductions. We have before you today, members of the board, a series of recommendations for you to consider after the public hearing in the adoption of the proposed budget. We're recommending that you accept the proposed budget. We're asking you to exclude the payment of $4,300 in this for the Modesto Symphony portion of the Board of Supervisors community support budget, and we'd like you to take that by a separate vote after your consideration of the proposed budget. We're asking you to conduct the scheduled hearing this morning and the next 2 days if necessary to receive input on the proposed budget. We are asking you to direct and approve any changes to this plan that you may wish to make, and then take action by a 4/5 vote to adopt the proposed budget for the coming fiscal year, and authorize the CEO and the auditor to make the necessary technical adjustments to implement your approved proposed budget. Your board policy and county ordinance directs the staff to do a salary comparison and a salary survey each year and include in the proposed budget the consideration of an adjustment to the Board of Supervisors compensation. This is in accordance with the Stanislaus County Ordinance Code. The Ordinance Code provides that your Board of Supervisors compensation not be more than 20% below the survey counties outlined in the ordinance. The current survey results show that Board of Supervisors compensation in Stanislaus County is 47% below the average of the comparable counties outlined in the ordinance. So as a result, it's recommended that you consider an adjustment of 3.75% on July 1, 2008, and 3.75% on January 1, 2009 for Board of Supervisors compensation, and that you make a specific decision about that as you consider the proposed budget. We're recommending that you amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect all of the staffing changes recommended in this proposed budget to be effective the first pay period in July. That you approve the contracts and agreements listed in Attachment B, all in the cumulative amounts of $100,000 or greater, going back to July 1, 2003, and to direct the Chief Executive Officer, working with county departments, to suspend discretionary spending where feasible between the proposed and final budgets in order to create additional savings and capacity to offset final budget reductions. Finally, direct the chief, direct the CEO to prepare for the final budget. We're recommending that you set the final budget hearing date on September 9th at 9:15 a.m. and on the 10th and 11th if necessary. And then after your consideration of the recommendations for the adoption of the proposed budget, we would recommend you take a separate action to approve the payment of $4,300 for the Modesto Symphony portion of the Board of Supervisors Community Support budget. The website for the county, which is new and is really wonderful, has an easy way to access the proposed budget. This screen is available, and the public just needs to log on to www.stancounty.com, and it's easy from there. We have department head comments and then public comments, and on behalf of the staff, we would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Is there any questions of staff before I open the public hearing?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. If we could refer to page 7 of your presentation. And the two screens that I have on the page show discretionary revenues of $176 million at the top, and then the pie dividing that dollar of sales tax is the way I interpret it. The question that I have, it shows the county base allocation is 11%. We've talked a lot about that in the past. It also shows the county VLF swap at 13% and the triple flip at 2%. First question I have is, do all the other counties in the state participate in the 13 and the 2, the VLF and the triple flip?
Yes, they do. It is an initiative that was established and implemented by the state of California that caused a swap of one form of discretionary revenue for another form. And so the proportional share statewide remains the same. We still are in the bottom three. This did not serve. While on paper it may appear that our property tax collections are greater, and in fact they are, our overall discretionary revenue was not increased as a result of this change, because in exchange for the property taxes, we lost VLF and sales tax revenues at the same time. And this was part of a state-administered and state-implemented program.
Okay, I'm just wanting to establish where parity is. And the discussion of parity, all the other counties get that 15, what's shown as 15% here also.
Well, they get a proportion based on their jurisdiction and the VLF revenue that came into their jurisdiction and the methodology that the state adopted. So some proportion of that, yes, but it may not be 15%. It may be more or less.
Okay. What I'm getting to is that 26% makes up the $176 million or pretty close to that?
Makes up our property tax dollars, and we used to say that we got 11 cents on the dollar. Yeah. This 26% is the same equivalent. Mm-hmm. It's just because the revenue sources have changed now that we thought we should show what the real effect is. And again, we are still in the bottom three on the total revenue amounts that stay with our
county. Yeah, I'm trying to weed through any other information that might be out there in case we decide we want to make a more concentrated effort on increasing our percentage, which currently is 11%. So the question I have is based on the 26%, that 11% is about 42% of the total in my calculation, 11 of 26.
Of 26, yes.
Yeah. So that would be about 81 million of the 176 million come from that 11%.
That would be pretty close, yes.
Round numbers. Okay, so if we increased our 11% to where the average was among the counties statewide, that would be somewhere around a $40 million event.
That's correct.
Okay, I'm trying to determine if it's going to be worth our effort to do something more about that. And $40 million a year would be, if those are the right numbers.
Yeah. Yes, and absolutely. And if we look only at the base allocation, which is the Prop 13 approved allocation of the property tax dollar, as it was originally defined in Proposition 13 and AB 8, which established the allocation methodologies back in the late 70s, the proportion of the county is still 11%. What's happened with the VLF swap and the triple flip is the state has taken a portion that's traditionally been allocated to schools and has given schools other revenue from the state general fund and exchanged that for the county's property taxes taken it from the school's property taxes, given it to the county, taken the county's vehicle license fees and sales tax, and put it in the state general fund, and then funded their school contributions from the state general fund. So I think if your question is the county any better off as a result of this changing scenery and the allocation of the dollar, the answer is no. Would we be better served if we moved forward to identify some mechanism to bring Stanislaus County to parity with other counties, with the average of other counties? Absolutely. We would almost double the base allocation if that occurred.
That's my question, and I keep on my desk what the current distribution is, and it goes all the way from San Francisco at 65% on the dollar down to Orange County, I think, is sunk to about 6%.
Right.
And the midpoint is about 20%, and I think that we should be spending some time devising a strategy that would get parity across the state, if indeed there haven't been other accommodations in the calculations.
And there have not. There, okay. The base component, which was defined pursuant to Prop 13, that created the original inequity, is still intact.
So the statement then stands, which I think we should consider in the future, is if we were on an average with where the rest of the counties are, this budget would have $40 million more dollars or thereabouts in it as based on state allocation.
Yes.
Okay.
If I may add something to that, every legislator you've had has carried that bill in Sacramento. Every governor, regardless of party, has vetoed it. The challenge is the fact that you would be taking money away from the other counties, and it's a game of numbers. I applaud the attempt to try to take care of the inequity, but I also want to point out the reality of it, that every governor has vetoed that proposal, which has been passed by practically every legislator you've had in office. And remember, you're going to have to figure out some way to get the majority of all the counties to agree to give part of their money to counties like ourselves. So that's the challenge that we're confronted with.
And I acknowledge that. However, we've only chose to use the legislative branch, and we haven't used the judicial branch.
And so they have control of the money. You can get into that argument, but it's control of the money. Who has the power?
So what you're saying, what you're really saying, Jeff, what you're really talking about is 11 cents we get, okay, when things were good and the building, house was building and the economy was good, we were doing fine with, we got the property tax, we lost the VLF. Now, the problem is, if you want to get that money out of Sacramento, the legislature is not going to give you that money, period. They're not going to do it. The only way you're going to get any more money out of Sacramento is you're going to have to sue them. Okay, now we've talked about that in the past, right? We have talked about a lawsuit so that we could go up there and try through the judicial system to get the money that we deserve. Is that it in a nutshell? Yeah, I think so.
Mr. Chairman, I was under the understanding when Proposition 1A passed that it froze us into that 11% for good. There's no way to increase it at all now.
1A was a constitutional amendment, but I believe that there was a clause in it about legislative action could, of two-thirds of the legislature could change that. Yeah. But I don't know how, when we get in the legal system, how that all works.
You're never going to get two-thirds of the people in Sacramento to pass that. I'll tell you right
now. That's why if you take...
Anyway, I'm sure everybody out here really recognizes what we're talking about. Everybody out there, just shake your head if you know what we're talking about. There you go. Okay.
If we can find a way, great.
Okay. All right. So with that, good idea, Jeff. But there's only one way you're going to do it. Is that go through the...
All I want to do is set the stage for after we get past this budget process, and I think it's something we need to seriously consider.
Okay. All right. Okay, with that, I think there's no questions of staff. I'm going to open the public hearing. Okay, yes, right here. They want to talk first before I open it.
Open it and then...
Okay, I'm going to open it. I got a list of people who want to talk to us, right? Okay. And I'm going to start with the speakers. Jerry Powers, you want to talk to us?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jerry Powers, Chief Probation Officer. I'm passing around some data that I'm going to be sharing with you. First, I'll start this off by saying that I'm not here to ask for more money today, so you can take a deep breath.
Very good. That's very good. There you go.
I'm sure you all appreciate that.
Yeah.
I have some pictures that will rotate through here on a PowerPoint, and as I talk and give you some statistics and some information that I think may be of value to you and certainly to the audience that may be viewing this at some point. First, I want to thank the CEO and the budget staff in the CEO's office for working with us. They certainly spent a lot of time going over our issues with us and trying to assist us where they possibly could. I want to thank my management staff, my budget staff, and most importantly, I want to thank the personnel in the probation department. As I say every year when I give you this budget presentation, they exceed my expectations and exceed the goals every single year, regardless of funding levels. And they're a fantastic group of individuals and professionals. I want to review with you the outcomes as I do each year and highlight some of the positive achievements that we've been able to do given the resources that you've given us this past year and hopefully that we'll be able to continue to do next year. As I've said to many of you offline and individuals in the public, when the economy goes sour, our business booms. I know furniture stores and stuff don't necessarily do gangbuster business, but certainly public safety, we get more calls for service, we get more individuals arrested, more individuals placed on probation. And that's reflected in our statistics for this year. Our caseload sizes have increased by 8% since last year when I spoke to you. We were more effective this year, quite frankly, in reaching out and touching those individuals on probation. And when I say touching, I mean in a positive way, in getting them into programs, as well as, in some instances, taking them off the street and making the community safer because of their absence. We issued fewer bench warrants this year. We decreased the number of bench warrants that we requested by 9%, which I'd like to say is because more people were in compliance and that were actually at home when we went to see them versus in places they shouldn't have been. Unfortunately, we sent more people to prison this year. We increased the number of individuals that were committed to prison by 52% this past year. We decreased the number of individuals that we violated on probation this year, and I think those two numbers aren't necessarily in opposition for each other. I suspect that what that means is those individuals that we did violate tended to do more serious offenses that resulted in lengthier prison commitments and local jail time as well. We increased the number of contacts out in the community of our probationers by 13%. Nearly 9,000 probationers were contacted in the field out in our local communities. We increased our number of contacts of victims and collateral individuals such as spouses and neighbors by 4%. We increased the number of searches that we did by probation officers out in the field by 71% this year. We conducted nearly 2,000 searches of probationers, their residences, their vehicles. As I said, a 71% increase. The number of searches that resulted in confiscation of contraband increased by 43%, a significant increase, which means there's more things out there that we're finding. The number of arrests in the field stayed virtually unchanged. We increased the number of multi-agency search and probation collaborative operations with our partners in public safety throughout the county by 19%. We did 121 multi-agency operations this year. That's nearly 10 per month, or it's a little over 10 collaborative operations per month. That's with the Sheriff's Department, Modesto Police Department, Turlock, Ceres, you name it, parole. Every police agency in the county was involved in those operations with us. We increased the number of drug tests that we administered this last year by 11%. Interestingly enough, the number of positive drug tests as a ratio decreased by 2%. In other words, last year when I spoke to you, nearly 1 in 4 drug tests that we administered were positive. This year, that number dropped from 24 to 22%. So we've seen some positive results there. We also increased by 35% the amount of money that we collected from our offenders this year, from $939,000 to $1.2 million. That's a significant increase and a significant benefit, quite frankly, to the department, to the county in fee collections, but most importantly to victims in restitution collection. I think those are all positive outcomes that I certainly am pleased to be able to present to you this year. I'd like to focus on a couple of positive things that we implemented this year based on the resources that you gave us. One of our most significant things that you approved for us last year was the implementation of GPS technology. That's the ankle bracelet that allows us to look at the computer and see where you're moving on the map. We implemented that technology on domestic violence offenders, gang offenders, sex offenders, and other offenders that we needed to control their movements with. We've had some tremendous success with GPS technology this year. We've had particular success in the area of domestic violence offenders who have restraining orders, and they tend to play games with law enforcement, public safety. They tie up the police agencies because they come in, they violate the restraining order, and they leave before the police agency can get there, and it's very difficult to prosecute and prove an offense. What we found is that when we put a GPS bracelet on an offender who has those restrictions, all of those violations stop because we can immediately tell that they have violated a restraining order just by looking at the map, and it's very easy to provide that information to the court for prosecution. Another thing that we've been able to do this year is our DUI offender program, our surveillance through the Office of Traffic Safety. We've had probation officers, and you will see some of the pictures, I think they may have already passed by, of probation officers administering breathalyzer tests to DUI offenders, multiple DUI offenders. And what that entails is we're going out to their homes, and we are knocking on the door, and all of these individuals have probation orders that they must abstain from alcohol use. And we're asking them to breathe into the breathalyzer so that we can tell whether they've been using alcohol. We're searching their residences for alcohol. One of the other things that we're doing that is somewhat unique is that many of these offenders have suspended licenses, which require that they not operate a motor vehicle. We are working with our local agencies in doing surveillance of these individuals. We're going to their places of work and making sure that when they leave work, they don't go hop in a car and drive it home or go from their home to work by operating motor vehicles. As we've seen in too many tragic occasions, it's typically individuals like these that are involved in the drunk driving cases where innocent individuals tend to be killed. So those are some of the highlights of what we're doing. With respect to our budget this year, we have some unmet needs that we put in our budget request to you. As I said to start this off, I'm not asking for you to fund those needs. Some of those we've actually been able to resolve through work with the CEO's office between the time we submitted the budget and now. We've been able to identify some funding for the air conditioning in our computer server room, and we've got the some of our positions, we may have mitigated some of those losses. We've still got some outstanding issues. The way that we're going to address our budget reductions, quite frankly, is through vacant positions. Anytime you leave positions vacant, things go undone. We talk about doing more with less, and that's probably an overused and oversimplification of what we try to do. In public safety, it's not that simple. I don't care if it's a deputy sheriff or a deputy district attorney or a deputy probation officer. It's really difficult to do more with less. If you talk about doing a search, such as what you're seeing in these pictures, we could do more searches with less, but what it means is we do less thorough searches, which means we find less stuff. Maybe we miss the drugs, we miss the guns, we miss those kinds of things. So it's very difficult to talk about doing more with less. What it realistically means is that we're probably going to do less, quite frankly. We're not going to be able to spend as much time doing as many searches or doing those multi-agency collaboratives or working with the victims to try and get them restitution. It's difficult. It's difficult for my officers to accept, and they're certainly going to work hard to try and keep their productivity up, but I think it's unavoidable at some point. One of the unique things about the probation department is when I leave a probation officer position vacant, not only do we save the county general fund cost, but that probation officer, that vacant position, is unable to claim federal funding that reimburses a portion of their services back to the department and the county. So when we talk about leaving four positions vacant, it saves the county, I'm going to ballpark it at about $400,000, but it also costs the county somewhere in the neighborhood of about $100,000. So when we look at the net county cost for the probation department, when we talk about leaving two positions vacant, I actually end up having to leave somewhere in the neighborhood of three positions vacant to offset the revenue reduction that we don't get by claiming the revenue for those two positions had they been filled. So it's somewhat misleading when we talk about how many positions need to remain vacant. The other part of it is, in order to not lose that revenue, we look at positions that don't get us revenue when it comes time to vacate positions. Those positions are typically task force positions, auto theft task force, gang task force, CalMet, SDEA, all of those specialty assignments don't bring revenue into us. So when we leave positions vacant, those are the positions that we first have to look at pulling back in so that we don't lose the revenue. And that's unfortunate because it certainly hurts in those specialty areas. Sheriff Christensen did a great op-ed piece in the paper yesterday. I don't know if you had a chance to see it and if the public had a chance to read it. If not, I'd encourage you to go back and see it. We are at the whim right now of the state. Our public safety funding, as Sheriff Christensen pointed out, has been zeroed out in a tug of war, quite frankly, that's partisan and unfair at the end of the day. The political games that are happening in Sacramento, I just talked to Sheriff Christensen before this started, are going to cause us to have to close down some programs until they can come to an agreement on whether or not they're going to fund public safety. This has been an ongoing frustration. Every year when the sheriff or myself or the DA steps up to talk to you, we talk about what potential state cuts they're threatening us with. At the end of the day, we've been fortunate that most of those cuts haven't happened. One of the things that the sheriff and the DA and I undoubtedly will be back to talk to you about is something called the Safe Neighborhoods Act. It is a proposition that will be on the ballot in November that will finally take public safety funding, statewide public safety funding, out of that political game. And I'm using the word game in a negative connotation. I'd like to use a more stronger term, but there's probably children watching. Take it out of that Sacramento tug of war and put it into the proposition so that we don't have to sit here and be pulled in multiple directions by Democrats or Republicans or this special interest or that special interest. So we will be back asking that your board support that initiative, and we'll be providing you more information on that as we move forward. Lastly, and in summary, one of the things that struck me as I was preparing for this presentation to you was Currently, you guys, your board and all the city councils have engaged in some very, what I'd call constructive regional planning around transportation. One of my fears in looking a little farther out in the future with respect to public safety is the specter of the public safety sales taxes that we've seen discussed and in some instances passed in this county. The city of Ceres has passed a public safety sales tax. Turlock attempted it once, and there's discussion that they're going to do it again. The city of Modesto has had discussion. One of the things that we have to be mindful of, and as a board and certainly as a department head, I feel a responsibility to let everyone know, is as these cities add police officers, what happens? We arrest more people who need a public defender. They need a district attorney. They're going to be put in our jails. They're going to be supervised on probation. So, and I'm not picking on the cities for doing this, but as the city of Ceres adds 10, 15, 20 officers, there will be a corresponding impact to the county by this increased level of law enforcement services. If Modesto does this, if Turlock does this, what will happen is without some regional approach to this, you're going to have these cities that are staffed up and the county agencies, probation, DA, public defender, sheriff, are going to be left trying to absorb that increased workload. What you did with the regional transportation tax, I think was very far-reaching and very creative. I think we need to get on some sort of discussion or open a dialogue about the same sort of approach with public safety in this county, because you can't have rich pockets of public safety services and then have, it's almost like going back to the county island concept, except for us, the county island will be the unincorporated areas, and then you will have cities that have significant public safety resources trying to put it into a county system that doesn't necessarily have those. So I would put that out there for discussion and for future thought that there may be a leadership role or a need for the board to engage in dialogue along with certainly the county public safety departments in this area so that we don't get left at the station when the train leaves the tracks. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you might have. I apologize for taking so much time.
Any questions?
I had one. You mentioned the efficiency of your searches for drugs. Have you ever got your drug-sniffing dog that you were working on this last year?
Your board was very good in providing the funding for that. We've had some obstacles with the bargaining, collective bargaining, or the bargaining unit behind that. I think there's been some discussion with you guys on that. I'm hopeful that we will be able to convince them that this is to their advantage to do it. Ultimately, they need to be willing to accept what the county has offered them in terms of compensation and things like that. So we're still engaged in that discussion.
Yeah, I think that maybe even speaking slightly more succinctly, and I appreciate you speaking around this issue, but the short answer is that the county has funded to support that program, but the labor organizations have not agreed to the terms that are in place and have been in place in other agencies within Stanislaus County.
If I understand it, you even have the vehicle for the.
We're ready to go. We just need to get the dog and put it with an officer.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Adam Christensen.
Good morning, Chairman Mayfield, members of the board. My comments will be a bit shorter because my good friend Jerry Powers stole all of my talking points. But I will certainly say, very eloquently spoken, and Jerry does address very specific issues that are challenges for us in public safety and protecting our communities here in Stanislaus County. But before I start, certainly I want to thank again the CEO's office and their budget team for working with ours. Our business manager, Dan Wirtz, and his finance team, along with the sheriff's management team, put significant effort into bringing forth this proposed budget for the next fiscal year to ensure that we're still meeting the demands of public safety. And certainly here in Stanislaus County, when I came before you 2 years ago as your sheriff, your newly elected sheriff, I spoke about vacancies and cutting services to the community. I'm very pleased to stand here before you today and tell you that many of our services have been restored. Our staffing levels on patrol have improved. Our response times, a thing you were concerned about, have been reduced. We have a street crimes unit out, our sting team, as well as our community deputy program that's been re-implemented. A lot of our services that we provide are done collaboratively with all of law enforcement in Stanislaus County. We have an excellent relationship with the Modesto Police Department and work together with them to address issues of gang violence and narcotic suppression. But with that, we accept, acknowledge, and thank you, this board, for your support, because we certainly would not be where we're at today had we not been working together over the past 2 years to invest in infrastructure, equipment, and many of the critical needs that the Sheriff's Department has in order to meet the community's demands for our services. And with that, as Jerry mentioned, you know, we have some tough decisions that we still have to make. We have a great number of challenges yet to be met because of the state's budget crisis and the fact that they use public safety funding as a bargaining chip instead of focusing on meeting the needs of the community and serving the people that they were elected to represent. They now use public safety funding as a means to essentially gain greater position and power in Sacramento and force other programs, and all that does is have a negative impact on us. Specifically right now, as I was listening to Jerry, I'm sitting in the audience bouncing emails back and forth between myself and Senator Cogdill's office, trying desperately to determine how we're going to deal with the California Methamphetamine Task Force funding that is now in jeopardy, and whether or not we're going to be able to be reimbursed for our expenses in narcotic suppression efforts, or whether or not I'm going to be forced to pull that team back to the Sheriff's Department, eliminate that program, and put those peace officers into existing vacancies to avoid your no backfill policy. So there are yet some challenges we face in the community. That was the reason why I wrote the op-ed piece, and that was the reason why I've asked the community to get behind this board and law enforcement in protecting funding that is adequately, or I should say not adequate, and certainly critical to our ongoing needs. So again, I want to thank you for your support in this budget. We did our very best to do our part in tightening our belt to try to meet those challenges in public safety funding. I would say also my thanks to certainly the law enforcement executives in the community, Jerry Powers, Birgit Flatiger, everybody that we work with on a daily basis to make sure that we're getting it done right the first time. It takes a team effort. That's what we've done, and I thank you for your support.
Thank you. Bridget? Do you want money?
I'd love more money. I'll be very honest about that. Chairman Mayfield and members of the board, good morning. It's a pleasure for me to follow Jerry Powers and Adam Christensen because, first of all, as you know, Jerry sets it up beautifully. He's got those lovely photographs, which everyone, their eyes just pop out of their head when they see some of the people that we deal with on a daily basis in this community. But what it does is it visually shows to you the kind of people that are out there in our community and need our attention. And as the sheriff indicated, we face some really big, huge issues regarding funding, and this happens every single year. Just yesterday, I got the news on the CalMet funding, which for me, if they zero it out, if they say that there's no more reimbursement starting June 30th, that's one of my investigators who's actively involved in CalMet. It's an incredible organization working out of the Drug Enforcement Agency, and it's a collaborative effort throughout the county. For those of you who've had any dealings with them and you know what they do, we have an indescribable problem. And when you bring law enforcement together working the way we do in this county, we have the ability to take out major narcotic distributors. But we can only do that if we can continue to work together in these kinds of task forces. And I'm very concerned about the future of those. I appreciate the enormity of the budget problem. You can sit here and listen to the wonderful presentation by the board staff. And it's frightening in terms of what we're facing. I know we'll get through it. I know it will be a tough several years, but it is a huge problem. I'm grateful for the support of the board and the CEO's office to my department and to the other law enforcement agencies in the county. The ones even you do not fund, the local city police departments, they work very well with us. We're trying to be more efficient. We're trying to be more effective. We're trying to do better work all the time across the board. I sent a letter to each member of the board in April that detailed what the impact of a 3% cut would be to my department, and I tried to be very explicit and clear. I'm very grateful that I'm here today not facing a 3% cut, because that would have meant the loss of 4 to 5 attorney positions, an investigator, a paralegal, clerical staff. We would have been really devastated in our ability to support public safety. I am currently, the good news is, in the position of only having to leave 2 attorney positions vacant and 2 clerical positions vacant. However, I'm here to give the Board of Supervisors and the public a heads up that even that, I perceive in the future, will become something which is a huge challenge for us to continue to support law enforcement in this county. And here are the reasons why. I have a prosecutor who will be leaving soon for an extended period of leave, as much as 6 months. I have another prosecutor who just gave notice that she will be leaving our department. So that's immediately 4 positions that I have currently vacant. And the public defender, fortunately, I'm looking at his numbers, he currently is fully staffed, which is great for him. So we are down. Public defender is not. Sheriff, fortunately for him, is in single-digit vacancies, which is great for him. But it means an increased workload for us with a reduced staff. The most recent information from Sacramento that I've received personally, and I've also been told by a member of the bench, is the word is that they will be appointing 2 new judges soon. They were supposed to appoint 3 last year. They never got around to it, but it looks like it is now imminent. This board last year authorized 3 new positions, 3 new DA positions for my department, and 3 attorney positions for the public defender in light of the anticipated 3 new judicial positions. I expect that will happen very, very soon. If it does happen and they create at least 2 new courtrooms and 2 new positions, that's at a time now when I would be below the attorney level that I was last year. Further bad news, given the cuts by the state, it appears that we are losing funding that came through the Community Service Agency and the Adult Protective Service Agency to fund half of the salary of a criminal investigator, and I covered the other half, who did nothing but focus on some very serious crimes that were committed against our elderly persons in the community. Additionally, as Dave Ingersoll, I think, will address shortly, it looks like funding will be cut to the department for child support services, and we currently have 2 investigators working full-time there, and their positions really are to hold those parents accountable that have been ordered to pay support for their children. So if those positions go away, that accountability goes away as well. Now is not the time, and I'm not doing it. I'm not here to ask you for more funding right now. This is the proposed budget. I know there's much that can change and much that needs to be figured out between now and September with the final budget. But I did want to let you know that I will be coming back in September, and I hope to have some specific numbers, and I hope we all have a better sense of exactly what kinds of cuts the states will be forcing onto us. So I'll come back in September with more information, and I may very well be asking for additional funding. In the interim, I am extending a personal invitation to each member of the board and the CEO staff, if they're interested, to come and spend an entire day with me in my office so that you have a more thorough, deep appreciation for the breadth of work that is done, the kind of people I have working in the office, the number of people, the various departments. And I think it would really aid you when it comes time to make some very difficult decisions in September. So that's an invitation that I really hope you all take me up on. Other than that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just one quick question. We're putting money towards the real estate fraud unit this year. Have we gotten an update to the board in the past year on that?
That report is ready and will be presented to the board very shortly, but the numbers you may be interested in are the number of cases that were reported to us last year were 40, the year before were 42. They jumped to 111 reports of fraud. So a number of those have been filed. They're multi-defendant cases. They're extremely complicated. Right. We have many that are under investigation. I could use a lot more help just getting them investigated.
Great. I was just hoping we get to see a report before final.
Very soon.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What about the Consumer Fraud Unit? Do you have a report on that, how that's doing?
We don't have a report written. I can certainly put information together. I can tell you that unit has been very, very busy and engaged in statewide negotiations in terms of settlement agreements with various cases and doing a lot of locally based cases as well. For example, licensing fraud cases and folks that are doing home repairs without licenses. So there's a lot of work being done there.
Yeah, if you ever put anything together, I'd be interested in seeing how they're doing.
Sure.
The workman's comp fraud unit, is that going away then?
That is going by the wayside, yes. We've had discussions on that, and there seems to be plenty of funding coming from the state for that. However, I don't have the workload to support it, and so I am backing away from it. And with the county's no backfill policy, that's been a challenge. I've moved those personnel into other vacant positions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
David? How many more out there would like to talk to the board today besides David? Seeing no one, David, you got the last word.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. Critical crisis, deep danger, compelling challenges, outrageous opportunities. These concepts are often tossed out. In the child support program today, they all apply. We do live in interesting and unique times. I don't have any photographs, no one-time events such as arresting someone. It's just the day-to-day thing of providing child support for families and recoupment of taxpayer dollars in welfare recoupment. I have two areas I would like to discuss with you. The first is automation, and the second is budget. Statewide automation, after 20 years and almost $2 billion, that's B as in boy, billion dollars, the statewide system is coming to Stanislaus County July 1st, 2008. This system is mandated by the federal government. We have no choice. This system has its dangers and its opportunities. This system will greatly improve the ability to communicate with other county departments in the sense that we won't need to call them or email them. We'll just be able to look at one computer system and see all the cases in the entire state of California. But it also has dangers. If it crashes, no one will be able to do child support in the state of California. This system will change the way we do work. Many documents with Stanislaus County's name on it will print at the Office of State Printing, not in Stanislaus County. There have been problems with this Office of State Printing contract, many problems. Some of the problems are the wrong forms are being sent to the wrong people, particularly employers. So if any of you are employers, I ask for your patience and forgiveness because you will probably get some forms with our name on them that are wrong. We know that. They're working to fix it. Unfortunately, I'm not down here as the child support czar of the state of California. I am only the Department of Child Support Services for Stanislaus County, and I'm doing all I can to influence the changes on that, but I don't control those changes. Another change connected to the new statewide system is a new phone system. On August 8, 2008, this phone system will be in place. There have been problems with this as well, perhaps even greater problems. These problems include disconnected calls and very, very long wait times. We're also working with the state to try and get this fixed. It is possible we will be going back to our old system temporarily if it doesn't work, but the state has made it clear that it's their decision, and if they want us to go with a poor or worse system than we have, they believe they have the right to make that decision. They paid for it, and I guess they want to get whatever benefit they think they will. Customers will receive outreach on these materials so that they will know that this is coming, but I wanted to give you all a heads up well before July. In addition, I'll be back for Child Support Awareness Month sometime in late July. Child Support Awareness Month is in August, and I'll give you an update on how the system is working. The first pilots went live over a year ago, and it has greatly improved since then, but I've mentioned there are at least two areas of significant problems. The second area I told you I wanted to speak about was the budget. Child support in this county is currently funded one-third by the state and two-thirds by the federal government. There has never been any county general fund contribution to this service to the residents and constituents. For the last 6 years, this department has had, in 1 year, a 5% cut, and in the other 5 years, we've been held flat. Obviously, all of our expenses, just like all of your expenses, both personal and business, have gone up in the last 6 years. Think about what energy costs, labor costs, health costs were 6 years ago. They were much less than they are now. In 2008-2009, the state has made a short-sighted decision. It has proposed cutting our budget by about 7%. This is not only short-sighted, but just foolish. If you are running a business and you have one division or component that is generating revenue, more than revenue, actually profit for you, that would not be the area that you would cut. Well, the state, in their infinite wisdom at this point, is proposing to cut one of the few areas in government that actually, because of the welfare recoupment and cost avoidance, actually makes money for government overall. In addition, we're also facing a challenge, which is in the budget material, of the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system at the community services facility. To meet these challenges, we're exploring all possible cost-cutting methods, including using the fiscal out clause on leased property. Sadly, very sadly, it also appears that this department will, for the first time ever, have to do a reduction in force of perhaps up to 20 individuals, and currently we have somewhere about 208. In addition to that, all of our part-time employees will be let go as well. In keeping with the Board of Supervisors' priority of effective partnership, the district attorney and I, and as the district attorney mentioned, have a plan of cooperation where there are two DA criminal investigators. These are sworn peace officers, guns and badges, and they do those instant events where they arrest people. Primarily, they focus on people who fail to appear in court, service of other warrants, connected with child support, and other legal process. These actions promote accountability, and they also act as deterrent. If you're in the courtroom, as I know at least one of your supervisors has been, and you see when they bring the person in handcuffs, belly chains, the eyes in the courthouse of all the other people who are ordered to pay child support, they get wide and they pay attention. If these positions are not funded, the sheriff and other local agencies do not have the resources to arrest these people. So they will probably not get arrested unless it's just by happenstance, perhaps on a traffic stop or something else. I wish to thank the CEO's budget team for their cooperation and their hard work. Specifically, on this year, we worked very closely with Patty Hill Thomas, Cynthia Tomlinson, and Mark Lozer. At the time of my appointment by the Board of Supervisors, I was told part of my role was to be a good county partner and an effective advocate for the department. I have been told, and I believe I have been a good county partner. I'm trying to be an effective advocate for the department by making this presentation. The general fund contributions will support the Board of Supervisors' effective partnership. In addition, included under the Healthy Community Team, accountability is one of the measures as well as a goal. About 20 other counties have made general fund contributions. The total funds, so you'd have to subtract two-thirds of it, one-third of these numbers would be the county general fund. In Butte County, $76,000 total, so one-third of that was county general fund. Fresno, $600,000, so $200,000 of that, I can do that math in my head, was county general fund. Kings, $50,000, one-third of that was county general fund. Plumas, $91,000, and Shasta, $1 million. I haven't mentioned the large counties because I think their fiscal situations are very, very different than ours. But as I said, there are a total of about 20. One measurable way that I believe this department has been a good county partner has been in welfare recoupment. When the department collects funds from people who the other parent is receiving public assistance, 2.5% of that is returned to the county to help repay the county's welfare costs. The rest of it, of course, goes to the county, to the state and federal government. In 2007, this amount was about $561,000 that we recouped for this county of Stanislaus. Over time, of course, this has been millions of dollars. This number is unfortunately going down every year. The way that the welfare reform works, the families on this area, they get more of the collections, we get less. That's good for families, self-sufficiency, bad perhaps for taxpayers. The department has budgeted funds for these two criminal investigators for 6 additional months, so in other words, through December. So I ask you to defer making a decision on it at this time. So in other words, I'm following everybody else and I guess not coming up here and saying, give me money today. I'm not saying that. But I would ask that you would consider this again at final budget. I am proud to work for this county. It is a pleasure and a privilege. This county has treated me exceptionally well over the last 23 years. If any of you have any comments or questions, I'd be happy to try and address them.
Is there any questions to Dave? Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I have one more request to speak. Mr. Robinson?
Yes, I do have a couple of comments that I would like to make. First, I'd like to express my appreciation to the department heads and their fiscal staff for the work that they have done in putting this budget together. The comments of the four department heads who spoke this morning could have been made by any one of our department heads, reflecting the needs of their departments and the impacts of the 3% reduction in net county cost. The fact that these four stood up and spoke to their needs is to be commendable. But I would point out that any one of our departments that have suffered reductions could make the same comments and could share the same experiences. In troubling times, and I will assure you these are troubling times that will get worse before they get better. In troubling times, we have two responsibilities. One is to do more with less, and the other is to prioritize. And in prioritizing, we freely acknowledge that some things get done and some things don't, just because resources aren't available. And that's one of the charges and duties of department heads, is to determine which of those functions, based on the resources that are allocated to you, are you able to do effectively, and which are you unable to do effectively. And to make those determinations, to allow the information and the impact of the reductions to be known, and then to move forward in a positive way. Each of you has demonstrated not only a willingness to do that, but an open support for the process that we've engaged in. I think it's important that the Board of Supervisors and the departments know that there have been thousands of hours that have gone into the development of this proposed budget. I would like to take just a moment, if I may, to introduce the CEO budget staff, because I do believe that's relevant to this process. Each of you working as department heads and your staff have had one or more of CEO budget management team. Christina Afaro, if you'll just stand, and I want to just introduce these. Christy Amaral, Marnie Artis, Nancy Bronstein, Tara Chumley, Doris Foster, Brenda Kiley, Jim Quartz, Mark Loser, Raul Mendez, Stan Ryson, Kelly Rodriguez, Cindy Tomlinson, and of course Monica Nino and Patty Hill Thomas. These are the people who have put in nights, weekends, and just an uncountable number of hours working with departments, developing solutions to help address the funding shortfall that is occurring this year, that will get worse with final budget, and I do want to express my appreciation to each of you. Thank you very much. I will turn my comments back to the board.
Okay, I think our goal is to make everybody happy, but I don't believe that's going to be the case. I think even during my speech at the first of the year that there's going to be hard times. I think this is only the beginning of the hard times. I think next year will be worse, but you'll have four people up here. I won't be here, but I'm sure my replacement will work with the other four, and they'll solve the problem. And I think as a Board of Supervisors, we'll do what we have to do, and we'll make it work. Thank you. If nobody else would like to speak, I will close this public hearing and bring it back to the board. And I think we're just about done, aren't we? We've done correspondence and everything. Right? Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen.
How about a vote?
The staff, you got to talk again?
No, recommendations.
Oh, God.
You have to approve the recommendations.
I thought you were finished.
No. Mr. Chairman, we would recommend that you adopt the specific nine budget recommendations,
right,
excluding that one allocation for the Modesto Symphony, and then take a second action on that. So that would be our recommendation.
Okay, you want to do that separately?
Yes, that portion.
Okay, sir. I need a motion to accept the budget.
With the also exception of the question on salary increases for board members.
Right, correct.
Would somebody want to talk about that?
Well, aren't you asking for a separate vote on that and a separate vote on the
symphony? Yes.
Okay.
So you wind up with three
votes. Okay, let's take the budget first. I need a motion.
So move.
Second. Bill, you going to do it?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
5-0.
The
symphony?
Symphony.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have
sir.
I have a conflict with the...
For the symphony?
Symphony. My wife plays for the Modesto Symphony, so I have to...
Oh, my God. You got to...
I have to remove myself.
What does she play, anyhow?
She plays both the oboe and the English horn.
Okay. Well, you got to leave then. Okay. Okay. So, okay, I need a motion for that.
Motion to approve.
$4,000?
$4,300.
Yeah, okay, 44.
I'll second Supervisor O'Brien.
Who made it? You?
First.
Bill O'Brien, Jeff Grover. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 4-0. Okay, now let's go down to compensation for the soups. Don't worry about it, speak at once.
I'll make a motion to deny the raise for this.
Deny the raise, okay. Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been denied. And, okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hey, did you vote?
Yeah.
Okay, 5-0. We denied the raise. Okay. And that leaves us 46% behind all the counties that we check with.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And with that, let's see. We finished the correspondence. And, hey, goodbye, ladies and gentlemen.